At Gospel Community Church, our mission is to know the Bible, share life with others, and bring hope to our city and the world. You're listening to the Gospel Community Church Sermons Podcast, where we go through books of the Bible, verse by verse and line by line, to hear the truth that God's Word has to encourage, discipline, and bless us in our daily lives.
Good morning. We've not had the opportunity to meet. My name is Kurt McDonald. I serve with a team of pastors here at the church, and this morning it is my great privilege to bring to you God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. May he add his blessing to it. As many of you know, we have spent the last 70-plus weeks traveling through the Gospel of Luke, and because I could not bear to leave Dr. Luke, we just carried on over into Acts. If you don't know, Luke is also the author of Acts. And so last week, we looked at the promise. We looked at the promise that Jesus had ascended into heaven, and then he says to the disciples, he says, go to Jerusalem and wait. Wait for the promise of the Father. And so last week, we looked at the promise. This week, we're going to look at the power. We're going to look at the power of the Holy Spirit. And then next week, we'll look at the practice of the church. So the promise of the church, the power of the church, and then the practice of the church, that is where we will be at. But before we get into Acts, can we go to John? Can we go to John this morning? So in John 15, verse 5, Jesus says this to his disciples. Jesus says to them in John 15, apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. What Jesus is instilling in the hearts of the disciples is that they are totally and truly dependent on him. That apart from him, they can't accomplish anything. They can do nothing at all. And then jumping to John chapter 20, what Jesus says to them, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. He commissions them then to take this gospel message and go. He gives them a job. He gives them a mission. So he told them, without me, you can't do anything. And here's this job that I want you to go do, remembering that they can't do the job that he wants them to do without him. The problem is he then ascends to heaven. So how are they supposed to do what they're supposed to do when Jesus had ascended into heaven? How does Jesus plan to continue his ministry? Jesus had begun his ministry by putting on human flesh. Jesus had continued his ministry by living a perfect life. Jesus had culminated his ministry with his death on the cross in our place for our sins. But then he ascends into heaven, but Jesus intends for his ministry to continue. And the question is, how does Jesus' ministry continue through the disciples and even to us today? Well, Jesus' plan for the continuation of his ministry is ordinary, spirit-filled people in the church. That's how Jesus plans to continue his ministry, is ordinary, spirit-filled people in the local church. I love the way Dr. Tony Marita summarizes the entire book of Acts. Here is what he has to say. He says, the book of Acts is about the ordinary people of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, equipped with the Word of God, captivated by the Son of God, and they accomplish the mission of God. That's what we're going to see in our text today. Or if we can go to Ephesians, can we go to Ephesians? You got to keep up with me today. Let's go to Ephesians and listen to the way the Apostle Paul says. I wish I had time to preach on this verse. I don't. I want to read it and lightly explain it. He says this in Ephesians 3. To me, though I am the very least of the saints, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. What is the mystery hidden for the ages? That's the gospel. That's the gospel that was then revealed. But listen to what it says next. What it says next is so shocking. So that through the church, are we the church this morning, church family? So that through the church, watch this, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authority in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he realized in Jesus Christ our Lord. What that says is, God's plan to reveal himself in the good news of the gospel is ordinary, spirit-filled people in the local church. God's plan to radically transform the world is sitting in this room right now. We are, which you might think, that doesn't sound like a very good plan. Have you met anybody in this room? We are a group of broken, needy people. We are a group of broken failures who have failed God time and time again. And the guy standing on stage with the Bible is the chief among you of people who are broken failures. And Jesus responds this way, I know that's why I sent my Spirit. I know that you're broken people. I know that you can't do this thing that I'm calling you to do, which is exactly why I've sent my Holy Spirit to empower you to accomplish the works of ministry. Jesus responds, I know that's why I sent my Spirit. And then I look out across this room and I think of everything that we've accomplished. And it's not been because we're smarter. It's not been because we have a great strategy. It's not been because our org chart is perfectly aligned, although it is. I only say that because I wrote it. Calm down. The only reason we have accomplished anything is because of the power of Jesus through his Holy Spirit. Ordinary people, just regular people like you and like me, broken people in need of God, filled with his Spirit, living out the works and the ministry that Jesus has for us. That's the only reason that we have accomplished anything at all. If you want to know, here's the whole sermon. Here it is. It goes like this. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. I can preach a passionate and accurate gospel presentation, and it will produce nothing unless it is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Our band can play the most well-known popular Christian song on the radio with excellent precision, and no one will be led into worship unless it is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Your marriage needs the Holy Spirit. If you are going to engage the heart of your child with the truths of the gospel, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're going to be patient with your coworkers and listen to your boss, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're going to make wise financial decisions, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. If you are going to remain a Christian to the end and hear from the Lord, well done, good and faithful, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. And the good news, what we'll discover in our text today, is that Jesus has given us the power of the Holy Spirit. We are now living in the age of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit has come. The Spirit has empowered God's people for life and ministry and to do life and ministry beyond what we ever thought would be possible. That's what we're going to see in our text today. A very simple outline, just 2 points today. Just 2 points in our outline. It goes like this. First, the Spirit comes. The Spirit comes. We're going to see that in verses 1-4. They're gathered together. They're praying, they're waiting, and the Spirit comes and in this powerful way. There's a sound of wind and there's fire, and it's an incredible scene. So the Spirit comes in verses 1-4. And then second point in our outline, the Spirit empowers in verses 5-13. The Spirit empowers. These men begin to speak in languages that they didn't even know. And people are saved. Okay, let's get into our text today. If you would, open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. I'm going to start reading in verse 1 as we dive into our text together this morning. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says this, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Now, many of us are unfamiliar with this Jewish holiday. It's not something that we're familiar with, but that's exactly what it is. Pentecost is a Jewish holiday. This was a feast that was held exactly 50 days after Passover. So if you remember, Jesus was crucified, and then he was with them for 40 days. He told them to wait. So it's been 10 days, 40 plus 10, 50. Now it's the 50th day since Passover, and they're celebrating Pentecost. Now, Pentecost is also known as the Feast of the First Fruits, meaning this was harvest time, meaning this agrarian society kind of were celebrating this day where they would go out into what they had sown and grown, and they would select the first fruits, and they would taste the first fruit of that, because that would be a then representation of what the rest of the harvest was going to look like. Are y'all with me this morning? And so what Jesus is doing here by sending his Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and Peter preaches, and 3,000 people get saved, and this global movement starts right there in Jerusalem. Jesus is celebrating the first fruits. It's a picture of what is going to happen. It's a picture of what has happened, and it's a picture of what is going to continue to keep happening even after Gospel Community Church is long gone. They're celebrating the first fruits. Watch this, verse 2. And suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. The author here is struggling to really define. It's like it was like a wind. They were as tongues of fire. What's happening here in our text is certainly mysterious. There is a mystery here in the majesty which is going on here in the text. So what we know for sure is that it sounded like a freight train was going through the house. I mean, they didn't know what a freight train was, but it sounded like a hurricane was about to rip the roof off of the place. There was a mighty rushing wind. After that, these things like tongues of fire began to rest over each one of their heads. So what's going on with the wind and the fire? And where is earth? You know, where's earth, wind, and fire? What's going on? What's the significance of the wind? And what's the significance of the fire? Well, remember that as God manifests his presence, it is often in wind and fire. We see that all throughout the Old Testament. Remember in Ezekiel 37, when God tells Ezekiel to preach to that valley of dry bones, and then he preaches to the valley of dry bones, a mighty wind comes, and all of a sudden those dry bones become human flesh. Or how about in 2 Kings? How does Elijah get taken up to heaven? Well, he gets taken up to heaven in a whirlwind. So we see wind in Ezekiel 37, wind in 2 Kings. Or how about Genesis 8? A mighty wind blows over the whole earth, and the rain from the flood finally stops. We see God manifesting himself in the wind, but it's not only wind, it is also fire. God manifests his presence in fire. How about Exodus 3? God speaks to Moses through what kind of bush? A burning bush, one that is on fire in Exodus 3. Or how about Exodus 13? How does he lead them through the desert? How does he lead them through the wilderness during the night? He leads them in a pillar of, you guessed it, fire. That is exactly how we see Jesus in a pillar of fire. Or how about Moses on Mount Sinai when he shows up to Moses in Exodus 19? He shows up as a consuming fire. So while this is strange, while this is mysterious, it also makes a whole lot of sense because this is the way God tends to reveal himself. Now, what is also interesting is that these flames end up turning into tongues. Now that's weird, right? If you're going to get an emblem to represent your movement, why not a flaming sword? That's cooler, right? Who want to sign up for that? I would rather have the flaming sword. So why is it that God is in this way showing them that the new symbol for this movement, this global movement, which is about to explode out of Jerusalem and all throughout the Roman world and all throughout the known world, why is the symbol for this movement a tongue? Because we have a message to preach. Because we have something to say. We're not the flaming sword. Why? Because those are weapons of the world. We don't need weapons of the world. We have been given the gospel on a stage like this. We've been given something to say. We've been given something to preach. So whether or not you ever stand on a stage like this and preach and present the gospel, you have been given the gospel message to speak to your coworkers, to speak to your children, to speak to your friends, to speak to your family. This is the gospel message that's been given to you with flaming tongues of fire empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's what's happening in this scene here. What's happening in this scene is these flaming tongues of fire are showing them that they have a gospel message to preach, which is why if you go read the rest of the book of Acts, you know what it's filled with? Sermons. It's recorded sermon after sermon after sermon. They preach, they plant churches, and they preach, and they plant churches. That's exactly what happens. And so what God is doing here in this mysterious scene is this. God is transitioning his people from his old covenant promise to his new covenant promise, made possible by the cross and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And he's using this event to show that it has occurred. This event shows that the new age of the Spirit has been ushered in. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would only rest on someone for a moment and for a particular task. But now in the new age of the Holy Spirit, we can now be indwelt by him because of the accomplished work of Jesus on the cross. Therefore, church family, this event should not be replicated. We're not seeking to replicate this event. So it's not replicated, nor is it ever to be retracted. So we don't need Jesus to die on the cross again, do we? No, he accomplished everything that needed to be accomplished there. And we shouldn't be sitting around praying now that we would get another Pentecost, because the Holy Spirit has already come. We've already received the Holy Spirit. And so it is not to be replicated, nor is it to be retracted. It happened, and we are now living in that age. If you're taking notes, write this down. God has sent us the power that we need for life and ministry in the Holy Spirit. God has sent us the power that we need for life and ministry in the Holy Spirit. Let's look at verse 4 together. Verse 4 says this, "And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Now, my charismatic friends love this verse. They love it. But what does it mean? What's happening here? Well, as the Bible refers to tongues, or the gift of tongues, or speaking in tongues, there are two different types. One type is when a person filled with the Holy Spirit and they speak in a language which is not understandable by any humans, meaning it's not a language of the one of 6,000 plus known languages to humankind, or in other words, a prayer language or a language of the angels. That's not what's happening here. Okay, if you want to know about that type of speaking in tongues, we preach through Corinthians. Go listen to our sermons, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. We've already gone through that. Something different is happening here in this text. What's happening here in this text is these men are empowered with the Holy Spirit, and they're speaking a known human language that was previously unknown to them. What do I mean? I mean, what's happening with these men is that they have never had a day of Spanish class in their life, and they're fluent in Spanish. They have never talked to someone from France and they are fluent in French. That's the miraculous nature of what is happening here. And we know that from the unfolding of this text, because these men begin to speak, and though they are unfamiliar with the languages that they're speaking, they're able to speak it. And that is how the gospel then goes out to all these nations, that the gospel is then carried from these men that have gathered there for Pentecost. They carry the gospel message that they heard in their own language back to their hometowns. And that's how the gospel global movement expands. And so can we just dive deep just for a second? Are y'all with me? Let's dive deep, because what we're seeing here in this text and what we're about to read through is the reversal of the Tower of Babel. So if you're familiar, you know that what happens early on in Genesis is that mankind gathers together to build a city and to build a tower, believing that they can reach God on their own and they can make a name for themselves. And so because of their sin, again, thinking that they could reach God on their own, God confuses their languages. And as a result, humankind is divided. That's the story. But here in Acts 2, the Tower of Babel is being reversed. What do I mean? Because here, God knows that we could never make it to him. And so he comes to us. He comes to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And what he's doing here is he's not confusing their languages, but he's clarifying their languages so that they can understand one another. And now they're not divided. They're unified in the gospel message. The Tower of Babel reversed here in Acts 2. Okay, let's look at our second point. Second point is the Spirit empowers. I'm going to start in verse 5 and read all the way through 13. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, meaning the sound of their preaching, and at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not these men who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each one of us in our own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocked and said, "They're filled with new wine." Because of this day of Pentecost, people, God-fearers, Jews and non-Jews alike, have gathered here in this place. And these men stand filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and they begin to preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus' death and his resurrection and his ascension into heaven. They begin to preach, and the crowds are shocked. A miracle is occurring. And how do we know that a miracle is occurring? Why are they so shocked and amazed? Look at verse 7 to 8 again. It says, "And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans?" Oh, y'all don't know Bible history. Y'all know Bible history. Come on. You know that they're there in the city around all the fancy folk. They're there in the city, the big city. That's where they are. But these disciples, they're Galileans. You know where Galilee is? It's way up in the hills, meaning these guys are hillbillies. They're astonished that these hillbillies can speak all these languages. These are uneducated, redneck hillbillies from the mountains, yet here they are in the big city, being multilingual. That is the miracle that is occurring here. So let's just bring that into context. Again, you need to imagine a redneck, a hillbilly with a southern accent in camo, Mandarin. No shoes on, and he's waxing poetic in Mandarin. That's the miracle that's happening here. That's what we're seeing in our own context. The guy with the pickup truck and Carhartt. I mean, and this guy is speaking fluent French. That is in our context what we're seeing here. We're seeing that God is overcoming barriers so that the gospel can be preached. We're seeing here that living proof, written proof here, that God uses uneducated people. He uses ordinary people to preach his gospel. What you're looking at right now is living proof that God still uses his gospel message further out to the end in order to preach and to take his gospel message further out to the ends of the earth. If you're taking notes, write this down. The Holy Spirit makes impossible things possible. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. We are in desperate need of the Spirit's power. Church family, we should not view Acts 2 as some weird or confusing experience to be ignored or as a passage to seek to replicate, but as God working by his Spirit through the disciples to see the gospel preached, to see disciples made, to see churches planted. You see, these men from different nations were converted by this powerful preaching, and they go and they take the gospel back to their hometowns, and the global movement, which begins here, we find ourselves in it today, right here, right now. That's why we need the power of the Holy Spirit. As we read the beginning pages of Acts, we're reading about the birth of the church. This is the birth of the New Testament church. And as we read about this, Gospel Community Church finds itself in a place of rebirth. I want to be so clear. I said this last week, and I just want to reemphasize this. As a church, what's happening to us right here, right now, is that we today, at the end of this service, we will metaphorically get shovels and dig ourselves up this plant which God has grown. We will dig it up by the roots and move it, and then we will replant our church. We're replanting our church. That's exactly what we're doing. We're not starting over. The plant has grown. We're not cutting the plant down. The plant has grown, but we are moving it. We're replanting our church. And so I said this last week, but I want to say it again. If you're taking notes, during this new season, we need to leverage the opportunity God has given us to reach more people. We need to leverage this, church family. Do you feel that in the room this morning? The band's playing, the Spirit's here. We're excited. That's momentum, church family. That's what you're feeling. You're feeling, you're seeing, you're experiencing a movement of God right now. And again, it's nothing that we have done. He has chosen us to do this. It's not because we're smart. It's not because our plans are awesome. He has chosen us. There are other churches right now that their doors are closing, but the Spirit is moving in a mighty way here. That is a great, great responsibility, church family. We need to steward this movement of God with great care. And so what we're seeing is that in this new season, we need to leverage this momentum to reach more people with the gospel. I want to see people that are far away from Jesus come draw close to Jesus. I want to see broken people, people with addictions, people who are lost, people who are lonely, people who just need someone to pray for them and talk to them. I want to see those people drawn into this family and become a part. I want to see Christians who haven't been in church in years. They love the Lord. Maybe they got hurt. They got burned. They're far from God, although they still love God. I want to see them drawn into. And so we need to leverage this movement, this opportunity. And so, church family, I want you to hear me this morning. Our main strategy to reach our community is ordinary people empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's our strategy to reach our community. And so I challenged you last week, and I want to challenge you again. Don't come to our launch service alone. That's my challenge to you. Everyone can bring one. Everyone can bring one. Don't come to our launch service on the 28th alone. Let's leverage this opportunity that is being held out to us. Let's leverage it to reach as many people as possible with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I said this last week. I'm going to say it again. We are not a mega church, and we do not want to be one, but we do want to grow. We do want to grow. Why do we want to grow? So we can send people out. We want to grow and multiply. Grow and multiply. That is what we want to see. If you're taking notes, during this new season, we are striving towards growth. Why? So we can plant churches. So that where a church didn't exist, a church can exist. That is our goal. We want to move into our new facility. We want God to bring growth. We want you to bring people and for God to bring growth. And then as we grow, hopefully by God's grace, 300, 350, we can do that in that facility, church family. And then from that, we can send out 80 to start another church plant. We can send out, yes, amen. We can send out a church plant to Spalding County. We can send out a church plant to Henry County. We can send out a church plant to Coweta County. We can send people out, and at that point, we can fund it. We can send people and money, and another healthy, gospel-preaching, vibrant church is planted. That's what I want to do, church family. That's what I want to do. That is the vision that God has given us. That is, God has been stirring in my heart as I'm standing in that new auditorium, as I've been walking through. Have y'all seen the kids' classrooms back there? They are cute as a button, church family. And what I'm seeing in there is I'm seeing children being raised up to be a part of these church plants and being sent out for the glory of God. This is the vision that God has given me as I'm walking around. It's the fire that God is putting in my bones. It's a facility where we can grow. It's a facility where we can multiply. It's a facility where we can send people out and more people will be reached with the gospel. Now, I said that last week. What I didn't say was this, if you're taking notes. When we move into our new facility, it's not the finish line. It's not the finish line, it's the starting line. It's the starting line. Right now, so who has been at the building this week working, doing something? Raise your hand. Okay, look at all these hands. Been working at the building. Right now, because we're all running towards this, it feels like the finish line. It feels like, oh, once we get there, oh, we'll be done. I mean, once we get the kids' classrooms done and get it painted, oh, we can sit back, rest, relax, and just enjoy it. No way, church family. That's not what we're going to do. We are not running towards this. And when we get there, we've reached the finish line. When we get there, we're at the starting line. We're at the starting line to grow and multiply and plant churches and see more kids come and see more kids hear the gospel, to see families transformed, to see marriages saved, to see people baptized in that baptismal. We are not at the finish line when we get there. We are only at the starting line. I want to say this morning. We are not only being handed a facility, we are being handed a legacy. We are being handed a legacy of faithful Bible preaching. We are being handed a legacy from Southside Baptist Church. Brother Bill, I'm so glad you're here this morning. I want to honor you, Brother Bill, just for your faithfulness, for your humility. I'm so grateful for you, brother. I'm grateful for everything that you've done. I'm grateful for Jay. I'm grateful for Pastor Paul. But I want you guys to hear what I'm saying. What these men are handing us is not just a facility, it's a legacy. These men have stood against cultural pressure to change. And they said, no, we're going to preach the gospel. We're going to stand on the word of God. We're going to be the church. And that legacy that they fought for and they bled for, they're handing it to us. They're handing it to us. And that's a great responsibility. And we cannot see this as some kind of finish line where we get to sit and rest. I love what Pastor Pete said last week. When he said this at the close, I sat right back there in my normal seat and I cried. Here's what he said. Pastor Pete said, he said, maybe it will be that our son goes down the aisle and be married in that new facility. Church family, I might walk my little girls down the aisle in that building. The sons of Gospel Community Church might be called to be pastors and church planters at that facility. The daughters of Gospel Community Church might write worship songs and accept a call into full-time ministry there. So we're not done. We're not done. It's not the finish line. It's the starting line. Okay, this is the last thing I want to say. You know what it means when the pastor says this is the last thing I want to say? Nothing. It doesn't mean anything. Okay. Here's the last thing I want to say. We're in a new season of life in our church. And if you commit, it will cost you. I know we're excited. I know we're excited. You drive by, you see the sign, you see the activity, you see everything going. It's exciting. It's so fun. We're fired up, and I know that. But I'm telling you, if you commit to this, it's going to cost you. We're already under spiritual attack, and I'm telling you, more's coming. More's coming. And so if you commit to this dream, if you commit to this vision, if you commit to say, I want the power of the Holy Spirit through the power of the gospel to live inside of me, I want to be a part of this movement of growth and expansion and sending out church plants, if you say yes to that, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you financially. You want to know why? Because growth and expansion has a price tag. It's going to cost you emotionally. Here's why. Because we're all doing this together. We're all people. And people are messy. The work is difficult. It's going to cost you emotionally. It's going to cost you spiritually. It's going to cost you financially. It's going to cost you. It's going to take a toll. But the cost from the suffering that we will endure, listen to this, is deep and abiding joy, knowing that we're building a kingdom that will continue to expand for eternity. That everything, every drop of blood, every drop of sweat, every tear that we give will be repaid over to us 10 million times over when we see Jesus face to face. Is it going to be painful? Yes. Will we suffer? Yes. Will it cost you? Yes. But you will be repaid in glory. When we see Jesus face to face, we will not regret one moment of suffering. We will not regret one tear. We will not regret shedding blood over this thing. We will not regret the emotional and physical toll it's going to take to accomplish this vision. We will not regret it one moment when the trumpet sounds. All regret will be gone when the sky is peeled back and Jesus returns and we rule and reign with him forever. We won't regret it. It will cost you, but you won't regret the cost that it will take. This is why in this next season, we need the Holy Spirit to give us endurance. This is why this text is so important for us to preach today. Of all days, this text because we need the power of the Holy Spirit to give us endurance, because if you commit, it will cost you, but you will find deep joy. And again, that's why we need the Holy Spirit.
I did say
that. He brings the joy in Christ, even in our suffering. I did say this last week, and I'm going to say it again. I'm giving my life to this. This is what I'm doing my whole life. This is what I'm asking God for. I'm going to give my whole life to God, to my family, and to my church. I'm going to give everything I have. I'm going to sweat. I'm going to bleed so that this church will grow, so that we can plant more churches, so that the gospel continues to go forward. I'm giving my life to this, and I'm inviting you to do the same. I'm telling you, you won't regret it at all. So now, before the sun rises on this new season in the life of our church, I want to read God's word over us. Can I do that, church family? I want to read God's word over us, and I pray that we carry this text with us as we move forward. And so, a little bit different here. If you're able, would you stand and let me read this word over you as we move into this next season of life in our church? Again, I pray that we would receive, congregation, receive this word. Receive this word and carry it with you as we move into this next phase of life for our church. I'm going to read Romans 5, 1 through 5 over us. Would you receive this word this morning? Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, you're allowed to say amen while I read this. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Let's pray together. Oh God, you are a faithful God. You provide, you give. You have not turned your back on us in our lives or in this church. You have faithfully provided. You have continued to go forward. You have poured out your Holy Spirit to create a gospel movement here at this church, and we praise you for it. And we ask, Lord, that you would give us endurance through the suffering, that through the suffering and through the endurance, it would produce patience, and patience would produce character in us, that we would be a people of character, Lord, sending out your gospel message. God, we pray for growth. God, we pray for new families to come. We pray for new people to come. God, we pray that in the future you would bring us a man called to plant a church, and we would train him up, and we would send him out with people and resources so that this legacy that we have been handed will continue on through us, onto our children and their children, Lord, until the day that you return. Would you do this mighty work within us? We ask all this in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening. Feel free to share the contents of this podcast, but please do not alter it in any way without permission. Please like, follow, and subscribe to us on Facebook or iTunes. Visit gospelcc.com for more content like this. At Gospel Community Church, our mission is to know the Bible.